Across central Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome. It is Feedback. It's the Friday version of our fine program. We are going to do things a little differently this morning. I know for those of you that look forward all week long to Open Phone Friday, I apologize. We will take phone calls, but I want to stay on task this morning. I have a very important issue I want us to talk about this morning. 715-845-2155, of course, is the phone number. All right. First of all, let me reiterate something that I've said both on the air, doing the show, in my commentaries, and so forth. In order for us as a society to move forward, we have to overcome our differences. We have to sit down and legitimately talk about the things that upset us, that challenge us, that we find objectionable. We sit down with the individual or individuals that we disagree with and try and find some common ground and work forward. There are different strategies on how we should fix the country as far as economically. There are different strategies on how we should be approaching things with foreign policy. There are different strategies as far as social policy internally and so forth. And the way you come to an agreement and common ground and we're able to move forward as a country, you got to negotiate. You got to talk. Well, one of the things that you need to do is listen. And not just listen for an opportunity to interject and argue, but listen to understand the viewpoint of your opposition. I believe that wholeheartedly. Now, there are times when that is a challenge to your patience. There are times when that is a frustrating endeavor. But it benefits all people when you're able to accomplish this. So, a few days ago, I think I mentioned this, Tom and I were talking, the Benghazi issue came up, and Tom mentioned a publication called The Benghazi Hoax. This is a 90-page publication that was published on the internet that the authors of this publication say that they did about a year's worth of research, and their theory is that the attack on Benghazi is a non-issue. That it was I believe, if I understand their intention, that it was unfortunate, it was regrettable, that it is a horrible tragedy that our ambassador and others were killed.
The conspiracy theories behind it are a ginned-up issue for political purposes. Okay.
And that is their theory, that the questions that we have put forward on this program are non-issue, and they are not questions that need to be answered, that asking these questions is irrelevant. So we're going to
maybe not so much irrelevant as political. That you are there, you are continuing this conversation in order to embarrass the administration.
No, if the issue is an important one, it's either relevant or irrelevant. It is not an issue of politics, and that's one of the things we're going to talk about when the individual gets in touch with us. Now, the original person we had lined up was David Brock, correct?
Well, that's who I had asked for originally.
Right. Okay,
Either he's not available, maybe he's got other interviews, I don't know, but we're going to be talking to his co-author, Ari Rabin Hoft.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking to him, we're scheduled to anyway, at 8:30.
Yeah, now again, as with all of our guests that we have that are via the telephone, we are at the mercy of technology. If for some reason there's something that happens on his end or something that happens on our end, et cetera, we got no control over that. But we're scheduled to talk to Ari Rabin Hoft at 8:30. But before we get into that, there's some issues that I want to address. Again, reemphasizing that I believe it is very, very important to make the effort to understand the other person's point of view. When you fully understand, or you at least make the attempt to understand the other person's point of view, then that accomplishes two things. You better have at that point, you now have a better opportunity to explain your viewpoint. You understand how they feel. Now you can explain your viewpoint and show the differences. Again, not wanting to argue, but to have a very good discussion. The other thing is, and this is equally as important, is that you have shown the courtesy of listening. You have shown the effort to understand and to comprehend. It is then reasonable for you to expect the same out of the individual that you're having the conversation with. If at that point you are unable to listen, you know, I can't listen to this, well, then the best thing to do is just break off the conversation and say, you know, let's do this later. I can't do this. Because blindly yelling facts that you don't know about accomplishes nothing. Two people just barking at each other. That's noise. That's one of the things that I can't stand about a lot of the political
talk shows. That's TV talk shows. Come on.
That's what I was just going to say. The television talk shows, I get tired of it because they're just a bunch of talking heads with letting their emotions run wild with them, barking at each other. And it solves nothing. It's noise. So I'm attempting, and I have said also on the program, that I have invited those that have opposition opinions to mine on the program so we can discuss. Give them an opportunity to explain their position, and then I ask that they listen to mine. Here's the most significant aspect of all of this. I believe everything I say. I believe it to the core of my heart. I know what I believe, and I know why I believe it. And my endeavor is to never be dishonest with myself and never to be dishonest with you, the audience, or those that I'm talking to.
It's that interesting you use the term, the word believe, because that is certainly better than using the word know. I know what I know. I believe what I believe is leaves it open for being an opinion as opposed to an unadulterated fact.
Well, some things are opinion and other things are fact. All right? But I know what I believe. I know why I believe it. So therefore, I am in a position to defend my viewpoints. However, when you are talking to somebody that is, well, their viewpoints have been purchased, or their viewpoints are based solely on emotion and not fact, that's when the conversation can degrade as well. So there it is. That's an explanation of what we're doing at 8:30. We're going to get into that, of course, as the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, I want to share with you my theory on what's going on with our political environment. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. We'll be right back.
I felt really compelled to call on my way into work.
The news you need, the issues you're passionate about.
And what's wrong with that?
AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome back to the program. 8:21. All right. Let's get down to the meat and potatoes of this. During the history of our United States, the democracy, the republic, has faced a number of enemies, a number of foes, challenges from all directions, economic, internal unrest, civil war. And yes, we have faced enemies from without our borders, outside of our borders. Now, there are those that are just tyrannical despots that are flashes in the pan, I guess I would say, those that want to immediately and effectively and with a lot of grandiose behavior, maybe attack or damage the United States. Those are always going to be with us. And yes, they're dangerous. I don't mean to downplay it. They are dangerous. But they are not going to affect on us, the people of the United States, a long-lasting change. Saddam Hussein. We have to fight him. We had to take him out. War was an inconvenience. War was an expense. War was a tragedy. Don't get me wrong, but our life as a whole, as a nation, did not change as a result of having to deal with that conflict. During the Cold War, the hardline communists knew that the likelihood of being able to militarily take out the United States, the likelihood of surviving that, first of all, of it being effective and winnable, very small. The likelihood of surviving it, again, very, very small. So the attack was to go from within. There was a flood of communist influence in our government. We had communist spies within our government. We had communist spies that was working very closely with the White House. And yes, the liberals at the time refused to acknowledge it. They said, "No, no, 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 communists aren't here. That's ridiculous. You're being silly." But slowly but surely, it came to light that yes, they were here. The purpose was not to affect change in a dramatic change overnight or even in a year or two. The purpose was to slowly, slowly, patiently, methodically change the way the people of the nation viewed their own country. Change the way the people viewed the government. Change the way the people viewed themselves. For many, many years, the United States was viewed by the rest of the world and by our own selves as when the going gets tough, the tough get going. When it was a hard job, you rolled up your sleeves, you got dirty, and you did the job. When a challenge was before you, you made sacrifices in order to accomplish your task. When your brother was hurting, you helped. You helped. When your neighbor was hurting, you helped. You helped. You didn't ask for help. You did everything you could to help others. My family, my wife's family, they had what was called the egg and butter money, where they would, you know, on the farm, churn butter, sell it at market, you know, gather the eggs, sell it at market. That money was set aside. That money was always used to help others. During the Depression, somebody would show up, they always got fed. It didn't get fed steak, but they got fed. That was the attitude of this country. Slowly but surely, we have turned away from self-reliance to government reliance. And I believe at this time, our government has come to the conclusion that we as a society can no longer take care of ourselves. The problems we face are beyond our ability to handle. I believe our government has come to the conclusion that the only way that our nation can survive is if we transform from the republic that was designed to a nation where the government is the center spoke, is the hub of our existence. From government, we get advice on how to do health care and how to do work and so forth, how to live, food, shelter, etc. From government comes all of the things that we need. But in order for government to provide, then there has to be an influx into the government. Of course, that means our taxes and fees, etc. If you look at it in a rational standpoint, you would kind of think, you could make the argument, well, you know, the government's got most of the employees. The government has most of the resources. The government has these groups of individuals that can dedicate themselves and their intellect to think and solve problems. Why not? The answer is because it crushes individual creativity. Crushes it. History has shown over and over and over again how when you take away the incentive to be the best that you can be and replace it with the government assurance, you crush the dream of excelling. You crush the dream of ambition. It's proven. But I believe there are those that are determined that that is the way it needs to go. I'm not going to say why they believe it. No one knows a man's heart. I make these observations by looking at the actions of these individuals, by looking at the actions of the White House administration, by looking at those that are around the executive office. I look at their actions. I look at how they behave and they testify when called before Congress. I look at how they treat you and I as conservatives and individuals who want nothing more than observance of the Constitution. I look at how they treat us, and that's how I come to the determinations that I have. These individuals, these groups, will do anything that it takes to see their vision of America come to fruition. That includes, because we're not smart enough to take care of ourselves, that means we're not smart enough to understand the reality and the truth of what they're doing. So that means subterfuge. That means lying. That means manipulation. Because keep in mind, this is for our own good. So the means justifies the ends. If I have to lie to you to get you to do what's right, then so be it. If I have to manipulate you with falsehoods, half-truths, then so be it. You have to understand, it's for your own good. I do not believe that the administration currently gives a rat's ass about what's happening to this generation or maybe even the next. They don't care. The installation of a government-run, single-payer healthcare system doesn't matter how it affects you and I. It doesn't really matter how it affects our children. What's important is that our children accept that it's there, and it has become a staple of American society. That's what's important, because the next generation will demand it. Those are the changes, slow, methodical. Those are the individuals that we are dealing with. So now, as we get ready to have our interview about this issue of Benghazi, I want you to keep in mind that the purpose is not to inform us of the truth. The purpose is to keep us focused on their agenda, not on dealing with what is truly important. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News, we will be right back.
Severe weather updates on WSAU.com. And on air at AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.